Welcome to the Mechanic Falls Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Sean Bryant. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit mechanicfallsvineyard.com.
So as we're getting a little settled in here, I just wanted to start us off with a little story. I like stories. It keeps track of where we're going and stuff. And a few weeks ago, this summer, it's like summer goes quick, doesn't it, in Maine? It's like at the end of my road, there's this beech tree, and it's like already starting to change. There's like a whole section of it that is like bright yellow. Bright yellow, and it's starting to, so summer is coming to an end here pretty soon. And in a few weeks ago, I was like, I gotta take my oldest daughter. I have four kids and they're all still pretty young. And my oldest is getting to a point where we can go like do things. We can like go on adventures, right? And so I was just like, we gotta just do this. We had a little window of opportunity and just like last minute, just threw all of our stuff together, loaded it up in the truck, threw our canoe up on the truck, and we just started to head up north. Like literally like an hour's worth of planning. All right. And on the way up, we had to stop at a few stores, get a few things, get some food, get some stuff for the trip. We had to stop and eat something. You know, we were hungry because we didn't plan like the day and time and all this stuff. And we're driving up there, and it's getting kind of late. You know, I'm starting to think, I have like no problem with it being dark or whatever, but I've got a 6-year-old with me. This could be, you know, I have a bad way of like introducing people to like outdoor things, and this might not be a great first like big outing, is to go out into the northern Maine out in a canoe in the dark. All right, my wife and I first got married, one of our first like camping type trips was in the middle of like February. We went out on the AT and hiked out and camped out overnight and summited Baalpate. Anyone ever done Baalpates? Really cool mountains. You gotta check them out. They're up in, Bethel way, right? Past almost New Hampshire. Anyway, it was in the middle of winter though. And we had crampons on and everything. And it was like, there was like a few places where it's like just sheer ice. And she's crying. She left so I can tell you about this. She's crying going, this is stupid. This is dumb. We're gonna die. And I'm like, and we're like on this middle, like if you slip, you die kind of a thing. And we don't really have the gear. And I'm like, but that's why we come out here, right? She hasn't really done any hiking with me since then. It's been like 7 years, 8 years. But anyway, so I'm thinking that's what I'm setting up my daughter for, is this terrible time out in the woods. And so we're getting there, and we're getting pretty close. We're like 20 minutes away from where we're gonna start the trip. And we crest over this big hill where usually you get to see the lake that we're gonna be on. I'm so excited, I'm gonna show her the lake. She's gonna get all excited. But when we crest over that hill, there is like the blackest, darkest clouds, just like an invading army rushing towards us, and going right into it. I'm like, this is not good. It's dark, got these crazy clouds, and then it starts to pour, you know, because we're going into this rain. It's pouring. And there's something weird about northern Maine. Like nothing is normal. Nothing just like, it doesn't just rain, it pours. I mean, you can't even see, you got the windshield wipers going, like people are pulled over on the side of the road. And so we get to the trailhead, if you will, for this canoe trip. And I just told her, you know, we're gonna set up our tent in the rain and we're just gonna camp here in the parking lot. All right, it's late, it's dark, it's raining. Is not a good combination to be out canoeing with a 6-year-old. And it's not like, you know, just going down here to Ring Pond, you put in, there's houses. No, you're like, you're out in the middle of nowhere, right? No one will ever find you. that's where we are. And so we set up the tent, and as soon as we get it set up, the rain stops. Okay, well, that's good. You know, we can at least maybe camp, like hang out around here. And then the sky starts to kind of open up a little bit, and there's still a little bit of sunlight. And we're like, oh. And so Zion, my oldest, who I brought with me, is like, let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's put the boat in. I'm like, you sure? I'm letting my 6-year-old make the decision. Like if because I'm okay with it. This ain't gonna bother me. But if it starts to rain, it starts to get cold, if we capsize out in the middle of the lake, I don't want to hear any whining. Right? Maybe I didn't maybe say it quite like that, or maybe exactly like that. Anyway, we load up. She's all excited. I'm all excited that we're doing this, and we're paddling. And it was a really cool, like, the rain, the fog was all up, and there was, like, animals, and it was a really cool experience. But we now get out in this lake, and it's, like, completely dark, dark, dark. There's a little bit of moonlight, so you can kind of see the water and see the tree line, but it's dark. And we're paddling. It's a few miles to the first campsite. I'm not going to let you know where it is because it's my secret spot. They're free campsites. They first come, first serve. We come to the first one, and it's packed out. I don't know what they did. If they had like a helicopter or something, bring in. They had like tiki torches and little sunroom things and screen houses. It was like, what is going on? It's like a village just dropped out in the middle of the woods, and they were doing their thing. And so they were pretty full, and they had dogs running around. So I was like, oh, let's go to the next one. I see a campfire. Not too far away, about a mile down the shore of this thing. So we canoe over there. And if you've never been in this setting where you have the headlamps, you ever use those? And at night, talking to someone else who has a headlamp, all you see is just a blinding light and a voice that comes from behind it. And all they see is the same thing, a light in your eyes and a voice that comes. That's all they know. That's all they see. And we come up to them I asked them if they're at a campsite, because there's no campsite on the map like where they are, but they have a fire. And they said, no, we were going across the lake, and that rainstorm just came out of nowhere, and we just landed here. We just got to this point. The wind was really hard, and we started a fire. And as we're talking to them, they're explaining, you know, where the other campgrounds are, but they're like, you guys can stay here with us if you want. You know, it's not much of a beach, but there's a little space. We can kind of try to make something work. We got a fire going, and you know, they were just, come on, hang out with us. And we decided not to. I said, hey, we're going to go to the next campsite, but if that's full too, we'll come back. We'll come back. Because we were having a great time paddling around at night. Got to the next campsite, and if you've ever been in these types of places, they're first come, first serve, and that's kind of loose. Like, if I wanted to, you could camp like anywhere. Right? If there's a patch of space for your tent, you could just hunker down. Now, it's not really nice to do, but it's 9 o'clock at night. I got a 6-year-old. We're wet. We're going to camp somewhere, right? So we come into this one campground. They had a fire going. They had some stuff, and you kind of get to the edge of the light, and you introduce yourself so you don't just pop out of nowhere. And you're in the middle of northern Maine here. You don't know what you're going to walk into, what's going to happen, what kind of crew you're going to. So, hey, how you doing? And start talking. And right away, the guy was kind of like, we don't have any room. There's no room here. We got more people coming. There's some space, but we have more people coming. You're not really, we don't have enough. And his wife kind of like, I think, gave him the look or something, because they said, no, we have room. And they set up, there's a little campsite, and we got set up, and we did our trip, and we had a blast. But it was just kind of weird. These two different settings. One is a person on a not even a campsite. They have like a patch of beach with a little fire, not enough space. And they were so like, come in, come be a part of what we're doing. And here's this guy who had tons of space. He had a whole campsite with a picnic table and a fireplace and its own outhouse. And he goes, we're full. Sorry. Right? And when I say there was actually two sites of picnic tables. There was the whole campsite for us. But he just, you know. And it was just kind of rubbed me the wrong way when I was there. I was like, this guy is kind of a jerk. Like, here I am with a 6-year-old, wet, in the dark. And he's like, no, we don't got room for you. But here, these people have nothing. And so what I want to spring off that story, as we're coming into life groups and encouraging people just to get together, be together, share life. And we've talked a lot about community. But I want to talk about a root of community, something that actually builds community, or community maybe even sits on. And it's this idea of hospitality. Right? When I came to the shore of the people that had little, they were very hospitable. They were saying, come. The other guy had space. But he was like, oh, I'm going to keep you at arm's length. So I want to just discover, look at what the scriptures say about hospitality, what it really means from a biblical lens, not just our world's culture lens. Because you got that picture? See, our world kind of sees this is like the climax of hospitality. All right? Martha Stewart. Right? I actually, when Seth put this in the computer, he didn't know who Martha Stewart was. I was like, really? That's happening already? But Martha Stewart is kind of like the epitome of hospitality. She makes the perfect little cake. She makes food that none of us would actually ever eat, but it's really cool to look at on TV. And she goes through and she's always saying, like, your guests will love this. Right? And you just put a little garnish on the side and your guests will love this. All right? This is a part of hospitality, but it's not really, as we're going to see, what the root of hospitality really is. All right? We're going to find that hospitality has more to do with loving strangers than it does with entertaining good friends. Say that again. It has more to do with loving strangers than it does to do with entertaining good friends. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time we can come together. And Lord, we just pray that you'd show us how to really come together. That we would take our cues from you. We'd take our cues from your spirit moving in us and make ourselves really a display of your glory on this earth with everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, you don't have one, on the way out, there's some right by the clock in the back of the room next to the door on this side. You grab one of those, it's yours. Put your name in it. Next time you come, you now have a Bible to look along with and track with us. But Romans chapter 12. If you're moving in there, we are looking at verse 9 of chapter 12. Just grab this real quick. So he starts out here. This is Paul, and Paul is in Romans. If you've kind of dealt with Romans a little bit, it can be kind of complicated for a book. All right, a lot of people say, "Man, the Bible is really hard to read," and it is. Sometimes the Bible is like really like, what is going on here? What does this mean? Sometimes we get this idea like, oh, it's just easy. Go read your Bible. No, it's sometimes hard. But there's a lot of things in the scriptures that are actually quite easy to understand. Hard to do, but maybe easy to understand. And this, I think, is one of those ones that's like, I understand what he's saying, but how do I do this? So, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. And make sure you make cakes for everyone. Right? Practice hospitality. That's what it says next, right? Does it? As you read that first list, it's like, wow, this is kind of like, this is hard stuff. Like, be sincere with your love. Reach out and give to people. Be a part of their lives. Continue in prayer, even when things aren't working out for you. Doing all these things. And then it says, practice hospitality. Make sure you just set your tables up really nice when you have friends over and make perfect little dishes for. I don't think that's what he's saying, right? He's not saying, do all these things and be Martha Stewart, right? No. So let's take a look at the Greek word. Sometimes, I don't know anything about Greek really, but sometimes it opens up and helps us understand. Because English to Greek, you have these language barriers and you have time barriers, you have all these different things, and sometimes looking back, it helps us. Now, I'm going to pronounce it once so you can laugh, all right? This is a part of the joke time when I'm trying to pronounce Greek. Does anyone here know Greek? Perfect. That makes it even better. So you don't understand I'm saying it wrong. But the Greek word hospitality, all right, philokasinos, right? Perfect. All right, I got it right. Is actually made up of two words that come together, all right? The first one means brotherly love, all right? This philo. The next one means stranger or immigrant, sojourner. So to really understand hospitality, it isn't just, making things nice in your home, even though that might be a manifestation of it. But hospitality is having brotherly love for the stranger. Brotherly love for the immigrant. And in this time period, when these things are being written, the stranger and the immigrant was also put together and made your enemy, right? Those people are different. Those people think differently, right? Read through the Gospels, especially of the Samaritans, right? You have the Jews and the Samaritans, different people, different systems going on. They were strangers, they were immigrants, and they were enemies. So this idea of hospitality is to have love towards people we don't know, people we don't understand, people who are different than us, people that maybe we're enemies with, or we think we're enemies with because of different paradigms that are set up in our minds. So this is why I really think that hospitality is at the core of community. Because if we're getting together and you're sharing life with people, but it's not done out of a way of just like, man, they're another person, I want to love them, then it gets kind of weird, right? It starts to fall apart, starts to make something that's really not what the Bible wants us to be a part of as far as community. When I was out in that boat, talking to those people that were welcoming us in, it was completely dark. They could not see who I was. They knew nothing about me. They didn't know my education. They didn't know, you know, what I do. They didn't know, you know, where I fall on the economic system. I don't want to say caste system, but economic ranking, you know, this idea of classes that we have. They didn't know where I fit on that. They don't know my ethnicity. They don't know anything about me, but they were so willing to say, come and be a part of this. We'll make space for you. And on the opposite side, we have this other group that doesn't know any of those things about me. I'm a stranger coming into their space. And their heart attitude is, let's keep a little distance. Let's keep some space here. And for many of us, we've really grown up, and there's some wisdom to it, I don't want to totally throw it away, with this idea of strangers are bad, right? I mean, how many of you have taught your children, don't talk to strangers, right? And there's some wisdom in that, right? I mean, there are people who are bad, and as we navigate this world, we have to be careful of who we let into our lives and trust and move in those things. But I think sometimes it maybe goes a little too deep, this idea of watch out for strangers. Goes a little too far to the point where we really are comfortable with lives that don't have people we don't necessarily would want to be around in them. We're really comfortable with that. We're comfortable with our own house, our own space, our own castle. And everyone on the outside is not to be trusted, not to be let in. And if they are, they have to go through quite a process. They have to jump through so many hoops. Maybe we've been hurt by people over the past. Maybe we've known people close to us who've been very hurt by trusting. And it's a very hard, touchy subject. And I don't want to totally throw it out or say, hey, it's easy. But we need to be talking about this with each other. We need to be talking to God. Oh, God, show me how to love others with wisdom, with caution, not to just throw myself out there completely, but just to, how can I do this, God? Help me, all right? This idea of community, real community, or really doing anything with God without his Spirit working in us, it never works. So allowing his Spirit to work on us, allowing him to open this up, allowing to get into that place where we don't avoid strangers, right? For many of us, when we, you know, in spaces, you know, you go to the grocery store, you go to the post office, it's like, if I cannot talk to anybody, this will be perfect. Anyone like that? I know I'm like that. If I can just get in and out without any contact with other humans, this will be great. I have like been trying to train myself, and I have to be intentional about it. When I get out of the, when I'm in the car, I say, oh God, help me say hi to someone. Help me just to, you know, if I see something that could be helped with, if I see something that could, you know, help me do that. I don't know how many times God has helped me out with this. This isn't in my notes, but I'm gonna go off for it. I'll go into stores and people ask me for, like, they think I work there or something. I don't know if I like wear generic clothes of like whatever they're supposed to wear, like blue shirts and little yellow tags or something. They think I work there, you know, like, I don't know anything about this. But the people would just go, oh, you know where this is? And I just would go along with it. I don't know if this is like a weird, like, probably should have been like, I don't work here. I'd be like, oh, let's find that. I think they're over here and da da da. And we're looking at the different things and they're like, yeah, like this one's, I've heard this one's pretty good. You should try this. And they're like, oh, thank you. Like, where can I get this? I'm like, I don't know. I don't work here. And they're like, what? Because I'm just going, God, help me. Help me just be around people and be a blessing to others and allow people to be a blessing to me and move in this thing that they're really, the idea of a stranger as an enemy would not be in my mind. Let's take one quick look at another section here, Hebrews 13. If you have a Bible, you can flip those pages. Is the air actually on? It is? Okay. It's really hot in here, huh? All right, so we'll speed this up though, because it's getting warm. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Goes on a little bit more. Remember those in prison as if you were the fellow prisoner, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Going back up to that line in verse 2. Entertain strangers is actually the same word used in the other passage we looked at. Same Greek word. Entertain strangers really means have brotherly love towards strangers. Reach out to them. Help them out. Be a part of their lives the best you can. Move in those. And he's also bringing into the picture of entertaining angels. Abraham, if you know the story of Abraham, angels came to him and said, hey, you're gonna have a child, and his wife laughed, remember that? You know, and he received this blessing. I just wonder if Abraham had said to the angels, I don't know you, I've never seen you before, you're strangers, you're enemies, get away from my camp. I wonder if the story would have changed. Would Abraham have received the blessing? Or would God have gone, I gotta find me another guy. This guy doesn't love people. He doesn't love people. I got to find me another guy. Right? Gideon, he's hiding in this hole, threshing wheat, trying to get some food. And an angel comes up, starts talking to him, and they have this conversation. They're going back and forth, and Gideon's getting encouraged, and he's going to sacrifice this animal to the Lord to seal this thing if he can move forward. And the angel disappears. And he goes, I was just talking to an angel. What's going on? God's doing something. I wonder if Gideon had said, I don't know you. Get out of here. What are you looking at me for? Are you the enemy, right? Because he's hiding from the, are you the enemy? I wonder if his story would have changed if he didn't welcome this stranger into his life. Real quick, in the Old Testament, this was a part of God's heart all along. In Deuteronomy 10:19 says this, and you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourself were a foreigner in Egypt. Leviticus talks about the foreigner residing among you must be treated as the native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Right? Maybe we see people and like, oh, they're doing that. They're caught up in this. They're caught up in what's going on. And God would say, hey, where were you when I found you? What were you doing? What was going on in your heart? What was going on in your life? He's rescued you out of darkness to be a blessing to others. Now, we'll end this thing with Jesus. Because if we don't find it in Jesus, then we really have to start asking us, is it really for us today? I'm going to paraphrase for the sake of time. If you look in Luke chapter 7, Jesus is invited to a party, right, with the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees were really good at entertaining people. I bet they had Martha Stewart's cookbook in on their shelf, and they would, you know, get all their friends together, and they would make the greatest matzo ball soup or whatever, you know, they're making, I don't know. They'd make all this stuff and they'd have their friends over and they invite Jesus in. And Jesus being this kind of, he's getting kind of like some celebrity. People want to know him. He's teaching. He has these different things. Well, we'll invite Jesus to our party, right? Because that's what we do. The cool people get together and we have a party. And it's kind of almost like high school for a second for these guys. Like they never kind of grew out of that season of their life and they're still kind of there. And during the meeting, if you will, this woman walks in. Who the people there knew that lived in the town, they knew her. She was a sinful woman. She was either a prostitute or had many partners, relationships, different things. And to their culture, they said, this woman, man, How could she be at our party? She's ruining our party. And it says she stood behind Jesus. Now you understand, they were like sitting around a table, and they didn't sit in chairs like us. They were way more flexible. And so they would sit and put their elbow towards the table and their feet away, because your feet are gross, right? You're walking on stuff, and they don't have, you know, sanitation, you know, the streets. Yeah. So your feet are away, and everyone's kind of looking inward. And so here's this party. Imagine this. And you're all laying down, and this lady's standing behind Jesus. And everyone's observing this. The lady starts to weep. She pulls out an alabaster jar of perfume, which would have been so expensive. I mean, she probably got rid of everything she owned for this bottle. She pours them on Jesus' feet, takes her tears, takes her hair, washes her feet. And the people start to go, if this guy was a prophet, he would know who this woman was. And Jesus gives them a quick parable. He says, you know, if two people owed money to a debtor, and one had a great debt and the other one had a little debt, and the debtor said, hey, both of your debts are free, who would be more forgiven? Who would be more happy? Who would be more excited about this? And they go, well, the one who was forgiven much. And then Jesus looks to the woman and he forgives her. He says, this is how it is with you. You're being forgiven much. See, Jesus didn't say, you're an outsider. You see this little party that's going on? This is the us. We're the cool kids. You're a sinner. I'll come to your house later, right? No, he esteems her in that place. He lifts her up. He says, see, guys, this is what this is about. This little group is supposed to grow and make room for her and then her friends. And then their friends and their friends. So we can all sit at this table together. We can all be in this space. We can all grow into this. So, how does this work? I don't know. It's different for each of us. Maybe jumping into a life group and being a part of a community and inviting your friends to that space and doing that. Maybe serving. Right? I think many times children are considered the least of these in our culture. I think if Jesus came to us right now, he would go to a junior high. That's where you'd hang out, because nobody wants to go to junior high. Even the junior hires don't want to go to junior high, right? The teachers, if you're a junior high teacher, we need to pray for you. We need to come alongside you, right? I think that's where he would go. He'd hang out with those who no one wants to hang out with. So maybe God's leading you there. Serve with the kids downstairs. Maybe it's going into joining with the prison ministry, being a part of hanging out with those people. They're strangers. They might be scary. Those kids downstairs, they might be scary. They are. I got a few of them, right? But jumping in, because practice makes perfect. You got friends, hang out with them. Love them. Bring more in. So can we stand? So I encourage you over the next few weeks here, get into spaces where you're around people that you're not normally. Maybe that's a life group. Maybe it's serving. Maybe at work you kind of like always do lunch in a certain circle and there's other people to hang out with. Mix it up. Be in different places. Because when we do this, and we do this well, it displays the glory of God. The heart of God, the goodness of God. And everyone here can do it in their settings. There's some settings that you're in that someone else cannot give to that group, right? Maybe you're a construction worker. Maybe you're in an office, right? Maybe there's all these different spaces that you can be in. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are continually making us new. And God, we pray that we would put action into our lives. We'd seek out strangers to love on them. And then once they become friends, we'd love on them still. And we'd go find someone else and say, hey, I want to love on this person. And we'd bring them in. And we'd keep just bringing in. Lord, there's so many ills of our time that hospitality would solve. There's so many major world issues that are going on right now, God, that having a brotherly love towards a stranger would resolve them. So God, we pray you'd make your church do what she does best and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.